love it. So, today we're continuing our series on He Is Therefore I Am. And you know, we're really covering lots of different facets within this series. Today I want to talk to you about the fact that He is our Alpha and Omega. He is our beginning and our end. In that, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. We're going to look at two sections in Revelation. But this is Revelation 1, maybe. Am I good? There we go. So starting in verse 5, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve as his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all people on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who was and is and who is to come, the Almighty. So this is referring, of course, to Jesus. And then in Revelation 22 and 13, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. God begins and ends the book of Revelation, revealing that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end for us. And he is the beginning and the end of your life. He's the beginning and the end of it. And he is meant to be everything in between. Your beginning, so your birth, was not a surprise to God. You are not accidental, as maybe your parents told you. But you were not. You are not here just by random. It's not, it didn't just happen. It didn't happen because two people came together and created a baby. That isn't why you're here. God planned for you. He knew you. He knew who you were. He knew your name. He knew everything about you before he even formed the world and put it in its foundation. He is the beginning and the end for you. Your existence is not random. It's not by chance. But God wanted you here on earth. God wanted you here on earth at the exact time that you were born. You're not a mistake. Have you ever run into people that think, I should have been born 100 years ago or 20 years ago? That's just simply not true. God doesn't make mistakes like that. You are born exactly when and where and into the family that God intended for you. Now, for some of you, when you hear that, you're like, well, wait a minute. I didn't have such a great family. Maybe you wouldn't say it like that. Maybe you might be a little nicer and you say, I had a less than ideal family, might be how you say it. And the fact is that God picked your family. That doesn't mean that God determined what your family would be like. God has a plan and a purpose for families. They're meant to bless and they're meant to be safe places. And the fact is that God allows us as humanity to make our own choices. Good and bad. The fact remains, though, that God planned it for you. He wanted your family. He wanted you in the family that you have. Doesn't mean that he wanted your family to be the way that it was. Whatever that meant. I do know this, that in the midst of it, his plan was to take all sin and sorrow that happened within those relationships or within the dynamic of your family. God desires to take it upon himself. There is complete healing and freedom for you from it, whatever that looks like. So he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And one of the things that I've noticed within our view of God recently, in the last several years, is we tend to either exaggerate or underestimate the sovereignty of God, and we should do neither. We should never exaggerate it, or we should never underestimate it either. He is the beginning and the end, but that doesn't mean that God has control over or even approves of everything that happens here on earth. He's given us humanity, mankind, he's given us the ability to rule and reign here, and how we do that is then up to us. It's an exaggeration to say that everything that happens is God's will. But we also underestimate him if we think that he's unaware of or doesn't care about things that happen in everyone's life. Doesn't mean that he doesn't care. Sovereignty, I think of sovereignty like this. We're on a trip somewhere, right? This earth, humanity, we are headed somewhere. We're headed towards God. There is an end in mind. And so I think of it like this. I think of it as though if we all got onto an airplane and the pilot knew the destination, the pilot's going to get us there, right? He's going to get us to where we're going. The condition that we end up in on the flight, like we could treat each other however we want while we're back seated. You know, we can beat each other up. We can be mean to one another or loving and kind and forgiving. The condition that we arrive in is up to us, but he will get us to our destination. Does that make sense? It's an exaggeration to say everything that happens is the will of God. We have to look at what Scripture says and to determine what is God's will here on earth. I would look very closely at Matthew 6:10, which says we're to pray for God's will to be done here on earth just as it is in heaven. That tells me what is God's will for the earth? It's to look like heaven. It's to look like heaven here on earth. It's what he desires. It's what he wants from us. That tells me that he cares about the choices we make. He cares about what we do with our lives. That you see, you might think that you just stumbled into the relationships that you're in or the job that you have, but that isn't the case. God he cares about the choices that you make in terms of who you're in relationship with and the choices you make with your career or in your schooling or with your money and your time. He cares about those things. But he refuses to control those things in your life because he desires for you to choose what's right and godly and honoring to him. He is the source of our life. He is our breath. He is our energy. It all comes from him. He is the very source of your life. The breath that you just took is a gift from him. And it's meant to go back to him, to be given to him. And all of creation exists because of him. He is the beginning and the end. And then he trusts us enough to decide how we're going to use the gift of life that he gives us. That's amazing, isn't it? That he trusts us enough. Now, for some of you, you immediately feel like, oh, but I'm failing so much at that. Try and look at it from his perspective. He looks at us and says, you're made in my image. You're made in my likeness. I know you. I planned for you before I made the world. I trust you. He comes at it from a very different perspective than we do because we look at it usually based in our failures, right? We like to define ourselves by how we're falling short and how we're failing. And he looks at us and says, I now, because you're in Christ, I now define you through my son. And so he looks at us and says, I've given you this gift. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the gift that he's given you? It's a question that we should all ask, and it's not always an easy answer. There has to be more to life, right, than just growing up, going to school, working a job, making some money, maybe raising a family, retiring. There has to be more, right? And there is. There absolutely is. Don't get me wrong, those are good things that we should engage in and that we should do. That it's just a part of our society, but I also think it's part of what God calls us to. But there's deeper things, there's better things and more godly things that God calls us to, such as being a part of his kingdom and knowing him and making him known. What are you going to do with the gift that he's given you? He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus is meant to be everything to us. He is meant to be our all in all. Jesus was with you yesterday, whatever you were doing. He's with you today, He was waiting for you when you opened your eyes and woke up this morning. He's waiting for you for later today. He's waiting in tomorrow for you, should you make it there. He is the beginning and the end. That doesn't mean that he's planned every moment, because he's obviously allowed us choices. But he's certainly present in the midst of it. What that also means is that in the moment of your greatest loss, in the moment where life somehow devastated you, or in your deepest woundings and disappointments, in your greatest failures, Jesus was present there. He was as present there as he was in the moment where you feel like you have got it all together and life, you're just on top of the mountain, right? He's just as present in the deepest moments of our life as he is in the most victorious. He is present. He is always present. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end for us. Theologian named Soren Kierkegaard, one time he wrote this. He said, "It's so impossible for the world to exist without God that if God should forget it, it would immediately cease to be." He is the beginning and the end. Here's what you need to know this morning. Jesus has not forgotten you. He's not forgotten you. He has not left you all alone in this world. He's not left you all alone to find your own way or to figure life out for yourself. There is an aspect where we do that, but he's given us one another. He's given us his word. He's given us his spirit in order to help us to know him, to know how to live. He has not forgotten you. And I understand that sometimes in the moment of devastation or desperation or failure, you can feel like you are all alone, right? But it's simply not the truth. He is there with you. He loves you just as much in that moment as he does in the moment where you have that day where you choose him over and over and over again over everything else that's tempting you or trying you. He has not forgotten you. That means that you can fully and wholly throw your life upon him and trust him. You can trust him. How much do you trust him with the difficult areas of your life? How much do you trust him with trials or temptations? How much do you trust him with the hurt and the wounding, the betrayals that maybe you've experienced in your life? We have to come to places where we fully and wholly throw our life, lay our life down to him and trust him. Because he is the beginning and the end for us. Psalm 139 says that God formed our inward parts, that he knit us together in our mother's womb, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, he says. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, the word fearfully there means to stand in awe of, to be awed by. It means to cause astonishment. We are fearfully made. God looks at us and he's declared over us that he's astonished by us. Here's what I want to get at. Jesus is crazy about you. You're always on his mind. He's always thinking about you. He is so deeply and passionately in love with you. It's like every time he sees you, he's like, "Ah, I'm so happy to see you." And his heart just lights up. See, for some, that push, and even for me, that pushes on this button of, yeah, but, I'm not good enough for that. Nope, none of us are. And that's why it's so beautiful that he looks at us that way anyways. What that means for each other then is that we are to treat each other with this reverence and deep respect because we are created in his image. Now, years and years ago, I liked a cartoonist. His name was Gary Larson. If you remember the Far Side comics, okay? And you guys, it's the wrong It's the wrong one. Can you pull up the other? Now that I'm into this, I have to tell you. Well, I'll start telling you about it. So it's a picture of God, and he's got like the earth in a pot, and he's making the earth, and he's putting different people on, and it shows God with a thought bubble, and it says, just to make it interesting, and he's got one jar that says jerks on it, and he's shaking it onto the earth. Now, you know, I've always enjoyed that quirky sense of humor, and here's the thing. I really liked it until, as I got a little bit older, I realized that I'm probably one of those jerks that he shook out on the earth. And, the fact is that we can all be jerks, right? There it is. Hey, thank you. So I absolutely love that cartoon. I think it's funny and honestly really accurate. Here's the thing. If God's planned for you, if he's planned for you before the foundation of the world, that means he's planned for every single person that ever has existed or ever will. That means that the person that you despise or hate or can't forgive, God planned for them. He loves them just as much as he loves you. He desires to be in relationship with them just as much as you. He's just as crazy about them as he is you. Doesn't mean that he likes what they've done, but the fact is that he wouldn't like some of the things we've done, right? God has a purpose and a calling for each person. God has a purpose and a calling for you, for your life. He is the beginning and the end. You're meant to be here to do more than simply exist and make a living and then die. He has a purpose and a plan for you. It's to serve others. It's to love others. It's to be available to him, to do things for him upon this earth. He has a purpose and a calling for you because you are fearfully made. Now, he also says that you're wonderfully made. To be wonderfully made means to be distinct. Means to be marked out, to be distinguished. From the moment that you were conceived, your heavenly Father set you apart. He put his mark upon you because he had something in mind for you and for you alone. And he had you in his mind long before you came to be. Jesus is your beginning and your end. The Father is so intimately and directly involved in every detail of your life that even though when you maybe don't recognize that he's there or that he's in it, or you don't understand what he's doing, we can rest and trust him that he is involved, that he knows. There's nothing that happens in your life that he isn't aware of. It doesn't ever catch him off guard or by surprise. And so the knowledge that he is our beginning and our end is meant to bring us into this place where we trust him. And that trust leads us into places of peace and rest. Let me ask you this. What if you knew before you went to bed tonight, before you laid down to rest, what if you knew that that was it? That you would draw your last breath? What if you knew that you wouldn't make it till tomorrow morning? Now, for some of you, you're like, oh, the sweet release of death. Some of you, you're struggling and you're having a hard time and you look forward to that. Everybody has difficulty in life that leads them into dark valleys. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. David's describing there that we will walk through moments in our life where we think, I can't wait to get to the other side. We shouldn't judge people when they find themselves in dark places. Everyone walks through it. It's how we walk through it that matters. It's the fact that we trust him that he actually will get us to the other side. Even if we don't physically in this life get to the other side, we will get to the other side. So when I say to you, What if you draw your last breath? For some of you, it's appealing because you want to escape the pain of this world. For others, it maybe causes you some anxiety or worries, or maybe you immediately have pangs of regret over things that you've done that you wish you hadn't, or things that you wish you had done. And still, probably for most of us, it just causes us, there'd be this sense of joy because you know you get to go meet Jesus. Here's what I want to talk about in regards to this. God is not anxious about your end. He doesn't worry about it. He already knows when it is. In fact, he is your end. He's not anxious about the end of your life. He's not anxious over the pain that you're in or have experienced because he knows that he can heal it. He doesn't live in your past regret because he can redeem all things. We live in our past regret. He doesn't. Come on, how many of you spend the day beating yourself up over stuff that you've done? And he doesn't do that. He's like, I know I can redeem that. I can bring good out of the mistakes you've made if you just trust me that I'm the beginning and the end. He doesn't live in a place of worry that if you were to die today, that the people that you left behind will somehow fall apart. Because he is their beginning and their end just as much as he is yours. So we have to trust him. We have to rest in him and find peace in him. And here's the thing. If we don't worry about tomorrow, we can simply live for today. If we aren't fearful or worried about our end and when it could be, we stop clinging to life and look to give it away. And that is what we should look to do. We should look to give away the life that God has given us. We use it to serve others, to introduce other people to God's love and who he is and his goodness and his kingdom. When you look at the early church throughout the book of Acts, the disciples and the apostles, they were bold and they were selfless and loving because they knew that Jesus was their beginning and their end. Do you know, 10 of the 12 disciples were martyred. They were killed for their faith. Because their thought wasn't about preserving their life. It was about laying it down for the one that was the beginning and the end of their life. We live in a culture where we're very consumed with making sure everyone is safe and that we preserve life as long as we can. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, except sometimes the attitude has crept into faith where we're like, oh, that's too much of a risk. We have to know and understand that Jesus is enough for us. Our faith is meant to do more than just sustain us through difficulty. It's meant to inspire us to dream for God, that we would see his kingdom at work here, to believe him to do the impossible. Now, the phrase Alpha and Omega, you find it 4 times in the book of Revelation. And it's the beginning and the end of the Greek alphabet. So it's the A and the Z. Or Z, depends if you're American or Canadian. It's the beginning and the end of the alphabet. And what happened was, over time and throughout history, that Greek letter Alpha and the Greek letter Omega began, they would put them together and overlap them. And what would happen is that they began to represent both the beginning and the end. They began to represent the entirety of the universe, with the understanding that Jesus was the beginning and the end of everything, of the whole universe, of all of creation, that both natural and spiritual had its beginning and its end with God, that every power and principality, everything that is divine or demonic, every power or authority came from one source, from the one who was the beginning and the end. Here's what we need to know about that. There is no one more powerful than Jesus. No one. I understand you can meet powerful people in life, and there are powerful angels and powerful demonic things at work, but there is no one more powerful than Jesus. And sometimes when we see evil taking place in our world, I understand that it can be really easy to let it distract you. It can be really easy to let it intimidate you. And we need to be reminded that he is the Alpha and the Omega, that it all begins and ends with him, that he is above all, he is almighty. There is no one more powerful than him. And consider this, God, who is all powerful, chose you. He chose you. He called you. He knows you. He knows your name. He knows everything about you, good and bad. And he loves you. He is crazy about you. That's amazing to me. This God who was, who is right now, and who is to come. He has no beginning and no end. He is just our beginning and end. He looks at us. We are so insignificant in comparison to him. And he looks at us and says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That just messes with my head. I don't understand that. Because I stand and go, you are beyond what I can understand. And he's just full of love and mercy. This incredible, all-powerful God who loves us so much. What that means is that when God promises something, you can trust it. When God says something, you can believe it. God has given some of you promises that you're still waiting years for him to fulfill. Let me encourage you, hang on to it. Hang on to it. Trust him that he is able to do what he said he'll do. When God says that he can forgive all your sins, he means it. Every single one. There isn't any that he goes, well, those, I can cover those ones, but man, that's a really big one. It just doesn't work that way with him. Every sin can be forgiven. Every life can be completely whole and healed. I've noticed, we spend time comparing ourselves to each other in life, including in faith. And there are times where you look at other people and think, oh man, they have it all together. God must, you know, and we don't mean it, but it sinks into our mindset that God has somehow, there's something special on their life. Because we know our life, right? We know, well, I know me and I know my own brokenness. I know my own failures and I know the areas where I struggle. And the truth is, we would all have that. And the truth is also that the same grace and healing is available to every single person. God desires to set us all free. He desires to forgive us all, to help us, to make us all whole. Why? Because God isn't a respecter of anyone. His arm is not short. His strength does not fail. Here's the thing, if you're searching for meaning in life, Jesus is the beginning and the end of that. If you're searching for meaning in your work or in your relationships, understand that Jesus is the beginning and the end of that. If you're searching for forgiveness or healing or hope, Jesus is the beginning and the end of that. This thought gets echoed for us in Hebrews 12 and 2. It tells us that when we fix our eyes on Jesus, he is the author, the leader, the founder, and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. All of this was his idea, his creation. Sin was not his idea. It was ours and Satan's. It was Satan's, and then we went along with him. That's the best way to say that. But we were his idea. He wants us. He desires his creation. He is writing humanity's story, and it's amazing. And here's my point to this, is that we need to reframe how we view humanity. Because sometimes through the eyes of faith, we tend to judge people and the world incorrectly. what we need is to look at the person that is vile and who appears evil and look at them and say, God planned for you. God knew you before the foundation of the world. Doesn't mean that he wanted them the way that they are, but he knew them. He planned for them. And God has something for you. He has forgiveness and healing and hope for you. We need to allow that same grace into our own life. Because there are times where we know we're making mistakes and we're making a mess. And we tend to then look at ourselves and say, oh, I could be doing so much better. And when that's the case, when that's what's rolling through your head and your heart, you have to remind yourself that Jesus is the author, the perfecter of your faith, not you. That doesn't free us from all responsibility. We need to work towards our faith. There is disciplines and things that we do in terms of reading the Bible and praying and serving other people in worship. But the fact is that you can never perfect your faith on your own. Only Jesus can perfect your faith. Only in Jesus are you made perfect. I mean, it's good news for us that we don't have to perfect ourselves, right? We're made perfect in Christ. And we can rejoice and relax into the fact that he is the author of our faith. Our job is to focus on him, the one who writes it. We don't have to focus on our failures, our shortcomings. We don't have to focus on the shortcomings and failures of others. We focus on Christ and Christ alone. And when we do that, he provides for us the power to live for him. He provides for us the freedom and the healing and the hope that we need. It's meant to set us free, that the understanding and the knowledge that it doesn't all ultimately rest on us, but ultimately on him. Parents, you need to do your job raising your kids. Absolutely, each and every one of us. But ultimately, Jesus is the author and the perfecter of their faith. Relax a little. It's okay. And for some, right, we need to know and understand our responsibility as parents. And for others, we need to trust the Lord with them. Whether they're young or whether they're adults. We trust God with our whole life. So in a few moments, we're going to take communion. And here's the point of today, is that in Jesus being the beginning and the end, is that from today, you understand that He will lead you towards the end of today, and that he has things set aside just for you for today. The day doesn't just unfold or happen without him knowing about it. And tomorrow when you wake up, he's right there waiting for you, and he desires to be with you throughout your day, to be the beginning and the end of it all. Will you let him do that? Will you let him guide you and lead you? Will you lay down the heavy things that you carry, the burdens and the worries and the concerns, and say, Jesus, I trust that you are the author and the perfecter of my faith, and that you know about these things, these heavy things that I'm carrying, whatever they are, you know about them. And so I'm going to leave them with you and trust you, because you are the beginning and the end of my life. This is the point. This is one of the deep points of the cross. The cross is one of the most horrific events in humanity. And God turns it into something beautiful like only he can do. It's the same for our lives. It doesn't matter how deep or how far that you think you've gone. He desires to take your life and turn it into something beautiful for him. So as we take, juice, and as we take some bread or rice crackers, As we take those, right, and we're holding the body and the blood of what represent the body and the blood of Jesus. It's the reminder for us that which was devastating to God becomes the thing that heals us and sets us free. Jesus died for us, and he also died as us. What that means is that at the cross and then through the resurrection, he takes all of our sin, he becomes a sinner so that we could be set free and forgiven. That's amazing that he is the beginning and the end of it all. Here's one of the things that it means for you on a practical standpoint. Even when you do something on your own and you make a mess, guess what? He'll be there to fix it because he's the end of it. We might reap what we sow, but he will be the end, even of all our mistakes. You can rest in that. It's a good thing for us to find that depth of rest and peace in him. He desires to take your life, no matter how damaged you might think you are. He desires to take it and make it something beautiful for him. All right. I'm going to pray, and as I'm doing that, I'm going to invite those, the worship team and those that are leading, they can make their way up. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much, Jesus, that you are the Alpha and the Omega, that you are the beginning and the end. Just where you are, if you have those moments, if you have stuff in you, if you have hurt and wounding, if there are things in your life that have affected you, that are hanging on to you, whether it's been done to you or you've done it, or if there's just something difficult in your life right now, I'm just going to encourage you where you are, just to lay it down to Jesus, to give it over to him, to say, here you go, I give this to you, the author and the perfecter of my faith. I give this to you, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of my life. Jesus, I surrender new and fresh to you. I give it to you, Lord, and I say thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the most loving, forgiving, and powerful person I will ever meet. Lord, in these next moments, as we remember what you've done for us at the cross, Jesus, may you meet us. May you meet each one. Speak to them, God, about who they are in you, that you knew them before the foundation of the world, God, that you planned for them, and that you have a purpose for them. That it's more than just getting up tomorrow and going to work, driving kids to school or meeting people for coffee. That while those are all good things, that God, you are in it and through it all. You are the beginning and end of it. And you desire, Lord, to break through into those everyday moments to show yourself strong, to show yourself loving and forgiving and merciful. God, may we be a people that are aware that you are our beginning and our end. We pray this, Jesus, in your beautiful name. Amen.